The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the Nova Society are those of our guests and panel members and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of any institution any member of the Nova Society is associated with. The material information presented on the Nova Society is for general information purposes only. Reproduction or dissemination for the purpose other than education is prohibited without express written consent of the Nova Society. We'd like to welcome everyone back to the Nova Society. And today, Scott and I engaged in a conversation where we let it get a little out of hand. We talked about the Supreme Court and a potential opening in the Supreme Court this year. We also talked about how that might impact the Democratic vice presidential candidate for 2024 and how, if all the stars aligned, possibly the Democrats could get a huge win by putting the right people in the right places. So, we hope you'll indulge us. Let's listen in.
Justice Sotomayor, have you heard about this interesting sort of idea about her? Is that she's 70 years old, she's diabetic. There are some people who believe that Justice Sotomayor should step down now and allow President Biden to appoint her successor while the Democrats have the Senate, mm-hmm. which they may not have come November or next January when the new Senate comes in. And we've discussed this aspect of that before also. It would solve a sticky problem if Joe Biden could convince Justice Sotomayor to step down, and appoint Kamala Harris, who's, I believe, 58.
Okay.
To her seat, which would open up a slot as vice president and replace an older judge with a younger judge. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great idea. I mean, and I think Kamala Harris would do an adequate job on the Supreme Court. And that does open it up for Biden to pick a new running mate. Although with young people, Kamala Harris is extremely popular. And that's some of the statistics you brought out a few months ago, how popular she was. So the question is, do you really want to lose that popularity? That little chip of popularity that she brings, and who could she be replaced with that would be equally as popular? It also brings in the problem, would he have to pick a female? Would he have to pick a female of color to appease, you know, all of the different factions within the party? I mean, Gavin Newsom would be probably a good choice, but they're not going to do that. That's out of the question. I mean, probably not going to happen.
I'll take on that argument, because what we were talking about was him simply replacing her, not replacing her to put her on the Supreme Court.
It smooths it over with her, absolutely. I mean, right,
and should smooth it over with the electorate, I think, or at least the Democratic electorate, that, you know, he's essentially kicking her upstairs. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a Supreme Court justice. It's as we've said before, it's a lifetime appointment. and She's still young enough to enjoy that for, you know, 20 years or so. So nobody would have any complaint about that, at least legitimately. And who, you know, he could replace her to whatever his polling data tells him would be the most popular person, who has the confidence of the American people that should something happen to Joe Biden, this person would be ready to step in on day one and, you know, we would have a fine president who didn't need a ramp up time or learning on the job, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I'm sure they've done that homework. I don't know who it would be off the top of my head. I don't know that you need to go back into the identity politics of it the way you would if you were just replacing her, you know, without kicking her upstairs. You follow?
I do. And the fact is that really his deadline would be January. So if he wins the election, and if he sees that he's lost the Senate starting in January, now you've got the lame duck Senate. There's nothing that stops him from going and making the appointment in December and getting the appointment carried through to January. You know, before the next Senate starts. There's very little they, even though they're lame duck, they still have that ability. At that point in time, again, if he's won and he's lost the Senate, now he does have that option, even, you know, go to Sotomayor, and still he has the option to say, okay, Kamala Harris, you're going to replace Sotomayor. Yes, you won the election. You're the vice president. I'm going to kick you upstairs. And now I get to pick whoever I want, like a Gavin Newsom. And I don't have to worry about what polling data is.
It's an interesting thing because she would be the deciding vote.
Yes.
For her confirmation.
That's exactly right.
I don't know if that works.
I'm
not really sure about that.
It is a little,
I mean, if they win the Senate, they don't have to worry about it.
But if they lose, I mean, again, is it legitimately a conflict of interest? Yeah. She's helping kick herself upstairs, but that's the system. She can't recuse herself, I don't think. And then, as I say, now Biden's vice president less, you don't got one. Your vice president is going on to the Supreme Court. And now you can just say, I like Gavin Newsom. Let's bring him in. And I think that, and I don't have to worry about, you know, what the far right or the far left or anybody thinks. I can just bring anybody I want in.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow.
And then he could do what you're thinking and say, you know what? I've done a hell of a good job. And I'm an old guy. I'm resigning.
Right. I'm going to create a new office called the President Emeritus. Where presidents retire and, you know, we still have input, but not decision-making power.
I mean, if popes can do it, why can't presidents? And then Newsom moves up. He becomes the president. Now we're getting really crazy. Newsom moves up. He becomes the president because Joe Biden. Now Newsom can pick somebody like a Gretchen Whitmer. And hey, all problems are solved. Now, you know, somebody has thought of all this. Somebody's had to think of all this because, again, it's within the rules. It does sound a little fishy when you kind of lay it out, but right. it's still doable.
But I just want to go, you know, we're way afar here, I think. But just to take a step back to the original scenario is that I think Joe Biden wins in a walk if he has the right vice president. If he has a vice president that has the trust of the American people in a way that Kamala Harris does not. Kamala Harris may appeal to young people. She may appeal to women of color. She may appeal to this identity group or that identity group. All of that is fine. I get it. But the general population, if the best argument against Joe Biden, who has been a very effective president, in my opinion, is that he's simply too old to run, and what happens if he doesn't make it, you know, somehow, or is incapacitated in some way and needs a vice president to step into the role of president, what one person would that be? And I think that there are better, safer choices than Kamala Harris. I may be mistaken. She may be the most qualified person for that at this particular time. I mean, she's been a attorney general, a U.S. senator, and a vice president for 4 years. Those are pretty good credentials. You know, it's hard to picture somebody who has those credentials, who has credentials better than that. Yet the American people, as they often do with vice presidents, don't particularly care for her. It's the exact opposite of the closest thing in the world to it, which is the backup quarterback, right? Everybody loves the backup quarterback, but nobody loves the vice president. And we've seen that, you know. The only one who really had power was Cheney, and that's just because Bush, 43, didn't really want to be president, just kind of felt that he had to be. And he could say he was the decider all he wanted to, but Cheney was the decider. And so I think that that Cheney kind of had a vice presidency that was very different from most other vice presidents. And I'll go back, I mean, you know, Al Gore and Potato Head, whatever that guy's name was, Dan Quayle, and, you know, and the rest of them, even Bush himself.
But like you say, the fact that Biden's age makes that vice president, and we've talked about a year ago, we talked about this, how important is the vice president? And when you've got a person that would be, what, 86 when his term ended, it's a big deal. And I think it's on the minds. It's equally as on the minds. You don't hear about it as much today. You hear more about, well, you know, Biden's too old, this, that, and the other. But in a way, kind of through the back door, they're saying, okay, do we really trust Kamala Harris to be the president if he was to pass on? And, you know, the scenario that I just laid out, that as crazy as it may sound and convoluted as it may sound, basically solves a whole bunch of problems.
Yes, absolutely it does.
It solves a bunch.
But, you know, but you don't have to go that wild, I think, in order to win this election. The best argument against Joe Biden is not that he's corrupt. That's crazy. Yes. He's got a very long track record in public life, and he's never been called corrupt before. So, you know, there's no evidence. The hearing that they're holding today on Capitol Hill, where Hunter Biden was supposed to be there, but he's not. And now Devin Archer is not going to be there. Tony Bobulinski is a guy who is going to be there, but he tried to get Hunter Biden to sign on to a deal with him, a business deal, for about 2 months, and then Hunter Biden declined, or the business deal fell through, and Tony Bobulinski was left holding the bag and is angry about it and is willing to testify that, you know, whatever it is that he's going to testify, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But there's no, and they're bringing Lev Parnas in, who says that he's one of the people who talked to that guy who was arrested a couple of weeks ago, is, you know, was paid good money by business interests abroad to bring up these charges. You know, they're fake, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
My point being that there is no argument better for not having Joe Biden be president than Joe Biden is old. Is he too old? I guess that's for the voters to decide. Would you feel better if he had a different vice president? I think that if you polled the American people, most of them would say, yeah, I think, you know, Kamala Harris seems like a very smart person. I'm sure she is. She hits a bunch of identity politics things that I don't think matter as much anymore as they may have used to in a Democratic Party that is way behind. And yes, young people like her, which is great, but I'm sure young people could get used to, as you say, a Gavin Newsom or Gretchen Whitmer or the governor of Pennsylvania, or wherever, you know, to be the next running mate for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've exhausted that topic.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah, we went really off the rails on that one. That was my fault. That was me being, yeah.
It's like me going, hey, let's have a moonshot, and you go, no, let's go to Mars.
Yeah, really. You know,
while we're in the neighborhood.
It's not that much farther. It'll be all right. So that's all the time we have for today's episode. The Nova Society is a production of the Phoenix Research Institute. We'd like to thank our sponsor for this episode, the Journal of Interdisciplinary Conflict Science. The JCIS is an open journal for upcoming scholars. The JCIS is currently accepting article submissions on an ongoing basis. The JCIS is a publication of Nova Works, a scholarly depository at Nova Southeastern University. A link to the journal is in our description. We'd also like to thank our podcast partners, Buzzsprout, who hosts the Nova Society, Audacity, who is our editing partner, and Podkite, who does all of our analytics. We'd also like to thank iHeartRadio, where people get their music and podcasts, Apple iTunes, the largest source for music and podcasts on the internet, Spotify, the most popular source for the Nova Society. The Nova Society is available on all these and other quality platforms mentioned in our description. We'd also like to thank our listeners. Without you, the Nova Society would not be possible. If you have a comment, a question, or would like to be a guest on the Nova Society, we can be reached at nova.society.podcast@gmail.com. Always remember, the power of society is knowledge. So for Dr. Scott Gershwer, Dr. Brooklyn Ann Weldon, Dr. Priscilla Hobbs, and all of us here at the Nova Society, I'm Dr. Mark Bound. Be well, and we hope to see you again next time.